Hey team, welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. My name's Alex, I'm your host today, and today I'm sitting down with Ed from TradeMut. Now, thanks for joining today, Ed.
Pleasure.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to have a little chat about what you guys do. It's pretty exciting. But what I wanted to quickly get a message out to people before we get started is that this is a different type of episode to what we're usually doing, but we wanted to sort of highlight sort of the unique perspectives and things that are in the mental health space to help students and graduates and paramedics in their futures basically get those conversations started around mental health with their colleagues, their friends and family. So this one's a different type of episode. So thanks, Ed.
No worries. Pleasure.
All right. Well, did you want to introduce yourself a bit and about TradeMut?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm, Ed Ross, co-founder of TradeMut, and this is a conversation starter. TradeMut's a, social impact workwear company by tradies for tradies. And I've also got, our own non-for-profit, which is a free text and call service, direct to clinical psychologist, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, if no, as people can't see at the moment because this is obviously audio, Ed's wearing his famous funky workwear, which is what they're doing.
Got the funky flannel on today.
So, Ed, how did you guys get TradeMut started?
It was just many long days. Dan and I are both chippies by trade. We were working in Brisbane doing, raise and build unders in Barden and Milton. And, as you know, it gets quite humid and hot here in Big Bris Vegas, and on those big sweaty days in summertime, we're thinking, there must be a better way of living our lives and out here slogging it out in the heat, often coming up with different business ideas and things that could get us off the tools. And we sort of had a look at the workwear space, and we're like, well, there's no one really doing anything different in workwear, and why is that? Can it not be done? And blah blah blah. So we started to look into that, and probably 12 months down the journey. And then, Dan lost a close mate to suicide end of 2015. And that was like our first direct link to someone taking their life, and like an eye-opening experience to, why has this happened? And then just seeing how big of an issue it was, nationwide, but worldwide, and also, especially among men. And with Dan and I, like, we're both privately educated blokes, and we're like, we never got taught about any of this sort of shit. Like, this is really weird that, we don't know anything about this. And then looked into the landscape, and, there were awareness campaigns out there, and, there's non-for-profits, but there was sort of nothing that really spoke to us. It was really like changing the culture around the conversation. So we sort of found out about social enterprise and like profit for purpose, and we're like, well, why don't we just, take this, issue and this business idea, mold the two together and see if we can do something. And then that's basically what happened. It was just a snowball effect of meeting people and understanding how we could, go about making this happen. And, we launched in 2015, 2018, 15th of March 2018. And, it's just been an absolute snowball effect since then.
That's an incredible story. And I guess, too, then, why the funky workwear?
Well, we had to stand out. We always wanted to do something, like, in the workwear space, it was completely different because it was just so bland and boring, and it was just like, it had been seen, it had been done 1,000 times. And it was sort of, our first patterns were like this really funky coloured camouflage. So it was like an oxymoron for the conversation because it stood out where it's supposed to be camouflage, blah, blah, blah. But it was like, if we can make that and that sells, then we should be able to pretty much make anything like really out there and people will enjoy it. It's just sort of gone, ballistic since then, sort of 3.5 years down the road.
That's incredible. And I guess even too, like, I'm not even a tradie and I found out about it and I think it's absolutely incredible. So with that as well, what has been, I guess, the impact of TradeMut that you guys have seen and heard about and actually, found out about through starting this?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's, we're sort of in our little echo chamber here, like in the office, and, we're not out and about on trade sites as much, and obviously with COVID, but I mean, everything that we're understanding and what we're seeing online is that, like, we've built this really cool community. And it's sort of like a union, but the opposite of a union, if that makes sense, where everyone's just like has a voice, everyone listens to one another, people are able to throw opinions out there. So we've got like a closed Facebook group for like people that have been our customer. And there's like 3,500 people in there. It's like a really awesome little community of people. And then there's also like all the friendships that have happened because people have met people at a show or walking down the street or on a job site because they're both wearing a Trademark shirt, and instantly there's just this really cool connection. And yeah, I suppose that's the impact we've been able to have, is like a kind of peer-to-peer, and it's just like a consumer-led, you know, cultural shift. Like, we've never really stood up on the bleachers and been like, you've got to do this, because like Dan and I aren't mental health professionals, and like we never really want to be mental health professionals. We just want to be these, you know, two guys that started this cool movement and want to continue to make, you know, fun stuff happen. But also change the culture around this issue. And I think we're, yeah, slowly seeing changes happen, especially among our community, because they're spreading that message on like that peer-to-peer level. And then obviously, yeah, with launching our charity, you know, just over 12 months ago, we've seen, you know, amazing feedback there as well. So we've had like over 2,200 contact hours in 12 months, which is really cool. So yeah, well over $500,000 worth of free private sector mental health care to people that, yeah, may have fallen through the cracks. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool. And considering you guys are making something that's sustainable and not necessarily like, yep, here's this small 6-month thing where, you know, we've just tried to like get the conversation started and then stop, but you guys are actually backing it up with like charity and
yeah, like,
continuously making community based sort of products. And yeah, I think it's really amazing. So what's the This Is a Conversation Starter charity?
Yeah, so it was sort of, you know, along the journey, we just realized that there was just so many things that were happening like in the non-for-profit space, but also in like where people could go. So it was like there's these massive organizations that are they're getting donated like tens of millions, like some hundreds of millions of dollars annually to like be changing this mental health issue. And we were like, well, fuck, it's like crisis support, which is like right down the end. And then there's awareness, which is like, let's just talk about it. And then there's this massive gap in the middle where there's no one really doing anything. And it's like, that's where the issue is, because it's like awareness doesn't really work for everyone. Crisis support doesn't work for everyone. So we need to like catch people in the middle. And where we were seeing, you know, people that get to that middle ground where it's like they know about mental health, they've got an issue, they didn't realize it was an issue. Now they're in a bad position. Mainly they were, you know, men, majority of the time. Poor mental health came from relationship breakdowns and finances. And those two things are like crippling. So blokes aren't going to be investing in private sector mental health care. And they're not going to ring Lifeline because they're not really suicidal, but they know they're not in a great way. And the awareness doesn't really mean shit now because they're already sort of far fucked. So it's like, what happens there? So like that user journey was sort of, if they built the courage up to go and see a GP, which most blokes don't even go and get a 6 or 12 month checkup, let alone go and see the GP because they think they've got a mental health issue. So they've got to go book an appointment, take time off work, go book the appointment and go to the appointment. Then their mindset might have changed between them. We're like, ah, no, it's actually not that bad. I'd rather just go get shit faced this afternoon and fucking, you know, lose my mind. So go to the doctor's appointment, then get on a mental health plan, and then get on that mental health plan, and then you've got to go find a psychologist and take more time off work. And like to find a psychologist can be fucking very hard, especially one you gel with and the length of time to go and see them. So we were like, why is there so many barriers to entry? Because like blokes especially, again, we're like, you know, there's a like a wall, ah, fuck, like too hard, not going to worry about it. This is an easier option. So we were like, why don't we remove all of those barriers that like are existing and just give people access to this shit for free? And whenever they need it. And so that's where TAC sort of came from, because we were like, the conversations are getting started in our work shirts. There's people out there that are hurting, or people that will be hurting. Where do they go? Well, let's just give them access direct to where they need to go and sort of drive the, you know, our community along this journey where it's like, these shirts are cool, these conversations are great. If you need to talk to someone, this is where you can go. So that's sort of been like the closed circle approach in a way. We've like built this really cool organization where it's like, yeah, got these people out there starting conversations daily, changing the culture, seeing all the resources, like the podcasts that we do, all the resources that are written. And then if you need help, you can go right here, free and, you know, completely anonymous if you want to be as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's really incredible. And considering, like you said before, you know, it can be very difficult to even find someone that you gel with. You know, it was Darren Hodge, one of our guests, that talked about how, you know, finding a psychologist is like dating. You know, you've got to try and find the right one. And that, like you said, can be a barrier because you go the first one, you go, nah,
this is no good. And then you paint them all with the same brush and you're like, ugh.
Exactly. And it's true too, because community, you said, is quite important to what you guys are doing. Considering the fact that, you know, you don't hear any other people that are, you know, part of, say, some form of like a mental health movement that are like, yep, oh, you're part of that mental health movement? No, like at least these guys like see each other, like you said, along the street in the same shirt or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Go, hey. And they've got that little bit of common ground, and then, yeah, that's all they need, and the spark's lit and away they go. It's really cool.
Yeah, incredible. So I guess from there, how important, like we just said about the community, how important is community in trying to create some form of a change?
Oh, it's massively important. Like it's probably the crux of everything. If you can't build a community around something like this, then, you know, no one's going to jump on board. And I mean, it's sort of the two go in linear with each other, you know, it's sort of in parallel. It's like, yeah, no matter how much someone's, you know, talks about something or wants something to change, if you don't have a group of people that are like-minded and willing to push that message for you, well, then it's just the same person saying the same thing over and over again. So, yeah, it's fundamental to everything that we do. And it's always, I suppose, yeah, being the core of what we are. And if we didn't have that community, then we'd just be two dickhead blokes fucking, yeah, trying to push some agenda where it's like, you know, it's, yeah. And the other thing too is with the community, they sort of take it in the direction that it organically goes, you know what I mean? So it's like they sort of show us where we need to keep taking it rather than us being, you know what I mean? So yeah, we sort of gel off that. And obviously we've got other things that we want to push along the way too. But, yeah, it's pretty cool allowing them to sort of help us along that journey.
That's really cool. I guess, like you said, yeah, they are the ones that pretty much are figuring out where they want to go with it and what that'll help you guys figure out where you want to go with it. But going from that sort of perspective, going from having people, say, on the trade site, you know, on the work site, anyone in that group with just peers, doing this sort of stuff, having conversations, wearing your funky workwear, how does that start creating a change in the culture and in terms of having like an organisational sort of change, like an industry change?
Yeah, so it all starts with the vulnerability side of things. I mean, that's probably the biggest part of the entire puzzle, is allowing more people and getting more people to show more vulnerability, because for too long it's like that hard-nosed, I'm all right, don't worry about me, I've got to show, you know. And it's a tough, it's very complex too, because it's, you know, we work with an organisation called NAWIC, National Association of Women in Construction, and Rad is one of the main facilitators there. And she was talking at an event a month or so ago, and she was sort of saying, you know, me as a female, I can't show vulnerability on work sites, because then it allows men to be like, yeah, you fucking don't belong here, you're not, you can't hack it. And I was like, fuck, I never thought of it from their perspective either. But it's the same, obviously the same with blokes, because it's like, blokes think that, oh, fuck, if I show any vulnerability on site, everyone's going to be like, fuck, you can't hack it. But I was like, we need people to show that and be like, lead the way. And I suppose, like, I've said it a fair few times, it's like the whole mental health situation, you know, nationwide isn't going to change until we've got like a prime minister, like a federal member, or a fucking, like, the CEO of Rio Tinto or BHP come out and say that they struggle. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, where the fuck is it? Like, guys like Tony Robbins and fucking Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, fucking the guys are always on, and there's never, you know, never looks like there's a bad day, and they fucking got the answer for everything, you know. And it's just like, that's so bullshit, because they are definitely having shit days, maybe even weeks at times. And it's like, where's that vulnerability in telling people that, like, it's okay that this happens, but there's a way out of it as well. It's not like this is the end point. It's like, well, shit things happen, but we've got to work to make sure that they don't happen as much and that things do get better. And I suppose that's the whole thing, yeah, getting that vulnerability started. And that's what we try and do. I mean, yeah, with our podcast, yeah, getting people in and talking about, you know, different things that have happened in their lives, and people of, like, high stature, you know, things that have happened in their lives and how they've dealt with it and how showing vulnerability has allowed them to make changes, you know. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's similar in our field, where we've got in this podcast pretty high up paramedics and people in the space, quite influential in the space. And even they've said, you know, we have psychologists we go see, we've got this and that. And I think the response from students was that they were quite surprised that they were so willing to be open and vulnerable and actually say, you know, that they do these things for their own mental well-being. And
it's so important.
It's so important. And I think you're right. That'll be the ones that create change, is the people who are very high up and able to sort of be like, yep,
yeah,
this is normal.
Well, we often talk about, Dan and I are pretty big rugby league fans, and we've had David Chillington, he played for Maroons and Australia, and he was at the Roosters, and he was a Queenslander. He'd gone down to Sydney, playing for the Roosters. Brad Fittler was the coach at the time, and it was sort of, Shillo wasn't quite getting a start per se in the run-on side, and he was a bit deflated and a bit homesick, and, you know, was hitting the grog a bit and partying a bit, and was sort of like, wasn't fully invested, and he was struggling. Anyway, Freddie pulled him aside after training one day and said, "Oh, Shillo, fuck, mate, like, what's going on? You know, don't seem yourself." And Shillo's like brushing it off. He's like, "Nah, mate, I'm sweet, blah, blah, blah." And Freddie said, "Well, it's okay if you're not okay, like, that's fine. You can go see someone or whatever." And Shillo's like, "Mate, I'm fucking 6'5", you know, front row for the Roosters. I'm not fucking going and seeing a psychologist." And Freddie said, "Oh, why don't you go see the guy that I see?" And Shillo was just like, "Fuck, like, Brad Fittler, mate, like, you're a fucking champion, you know. If you're going and seeing a psychologist, well, shit, that's good enough for me." And then he, talked about how he went and saw that that person in Bondi like 6 or 7 times, and could draw like a straight line trajectory of the improvement in his life and also within his career. Like, the next year he was signed a big contract with the Raiders, was playing for the Maroons, ended up playing for the Kangaroos, and huge transformation. He puts it all down to that conversation he had with Freddie, which is like, massive amount of vulnerability shown from someone in a leadership position to allow someone to show that vulnerability themselves. So it's pretty cool.
That's really interesting. That's an amazing story. And considering that, it just takes that one person sometimes to be vulnerable to change someone else's life. It's
absolutely
pretty cool.
Yeah.
And considering, like, in this job, like you said, your partner works in healthcare.
My sister.
Your sister. My apologies. Your sister works in healthcare. And like we always see on a daily basis, people who do struggle with mental health, and like you said, actually men's mental health is quite significant, and we see it a lot on placements and on road. So it's quite interesting seeing that and being like, well, they're really struggling, and, you know, what sort of resources can they take? Because sometimes it's, like you said before, they're not at that crisis point, but they're also not at that awareness point.
Well, the thing that, like, paramedics and, like, emergency nurses and stuff, like, you guys are in fucking war zones every day. Really. Like, you're in little mini war zones every day. It's incredible, you know? Like, it is mind-blowing. And to think, like, you know, like, I talk to my sister, and, like, she talks about how, like, the stuff that she sees and, like, what goes on, like, people coming with, like, a gunshot wound to the chest, and, like, someone coming with their fucking nuts cut out in a freezer box. I'm like, what the fuck? That is like, you couldn't make this shit up, you know? And I'm like, what sort of resources are there? And my sister's like, "Oh, well, most of the girls just drink. Like, most of them just drink piss." I was like, fuck, like, that is so concerning. You know, that is so concerning. Like, all our frontline workers, like, that's the journey. I was like, because you are soldiers to a degree. Like, you're out there doing shit that not many people want to do. And it's like hardcore. And it's like, where are the resources, and what can we do for, you know, you guys to make your lives easier? Because it's tough, and it shouldn't be your burden to bear either. Like, it's just going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's like already a level of expectation when you go in there. You go into it knowing that you're going to see some things that not everyone on a daily basis is going to see. But it was interesting. I was talking to someone recently who said that they had the Ambulance Australia film crew in the back, and they went to just do a normal day. And
like on the telly show.
Yeah, the telly show. And they were doing that, and they go, "Oh, at the end of the day, oh, you know, that was a really intense day." Like,
the film crew said.
Yeah. And they're like, "What do you mean? We just went to like someone who fractured, you know, a bone, and someone who, you know, just, you know, had a low blood sugar like event and things like that." And they were like, "No, this is like, that was intense." And that was really, for them, for those paramedics, I was like, wow, we didn't think that was anything, you know, ridiculous. But for normal public perception to think that was like a really big thing.
Oh, I don't think people have the faintest idea. Like, I don't, but I know that it's not what I think it is. Like, it's worse than I think it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's hardcore.
Yeah, to an extent. There's, you know, obviously the ones on TV portray more than what you think.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you know, everyone goes, oh my God, that's what you must go to every single day, every single case, everything. No, it's not always like that, but it can happen. But yeah, that it is interesting seeing that. So having that sort of, like you said, like most people, like you just said, were going and taking sort of negative behaviors like, you know, alcohol and stuff to deal with their mental health. Like, what are you guys doing in that awareness space to try and help provide like information about positive behaviors and things like that? Not necessarily those people that are like, I need to go talk to a psychologist now, but just that awareness of how they can start looking after themselves.
Yeah, I suppose for us, it's more allowing people to take their own journey to a degree. Like we've got resources, and like I said, like we're not mental health professionals, but it's sort of, yeah, like I've done over like 50 episodes of the podcast now, and there's like lots of different things there. And we touch on like sort of the three pillars, like nutritional health, physical health, and mental health, obviously. But it's allowing people to sort of make their own minds up, because it's not a one size fits all problem either. You know, like some people, like, you know, some people, it's stuff from what happened in childhood. Some things, it's like some big trauma that's happened to them. Someone that they've lost someone, you know, finances, they've lost a job, relationship. Like there's just so many different factors, but it's allowing people to say, hey, look, I've got a problem. I want to change. Like I want to fix it. Where can I go to? And then it's just straight through to TX. That's basically the journey we want people to take. Cause it's like, if there were people out there, they're like, I think I'm drinking too many beers tonight. It's like, well, just ring, like call our psychologist and have a chat to them. Maybe you don't have an issue. Maybe like you're preconceiving something that it's not as bad as it is, but like reach out, talk to someone. Cause it's like, you don't need to, you know, go down the journey of like really hurting yourself to try and figure it out on your own. Like, fuck, that's what we've built this thing for. So it's like, you can just call or text, you know? So that's sort of what we're trying to instill in, you know, in people's behavior. It's sort of like, don't I can knuckle it, like just reach out. Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that message. So how do people on a daily basis, so in the workplace, you know, with family, friends, how do they start that conversation, whether that be for themselves or they've recognized someone, you know, is potentially struggling, and they just start that mental health conversation?
Yeah, well, I think it just comes down to that vulnerability piece again. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that reach out and they're like, oh, I've got a friend that really needs to call TX. It's like, fuck, you call. Like, you call them. And then, you know, so it's like if you want to start that conversation, you know, for yourself or for someone else, it's sort of, we recommend like just call up, they'll give you tips, and then you can go and have that conversation, show the vulnerability, say that, you know, take the conversation along the right journey, so that that person then's like built that level of trust. You've shown vulnerability, they can show vulnerability, and then it's just a snowball effect there. It's like, righto. And then we can do an outbound call. So it's like, you know, I'm worried about mate Jeff. Like, can you give him a call on Tuesday? Yeah, no worries, we can do that. So that's basically the crux of it, is allowing people to show vulnerability so other people can themselves. It's like leading the way in a sense, you know. Like, there's so many people that we chat to, they're like, I'm really worried. It's like, well, fuck, what are you doing about it? They're like, oh, they've got a call. It's like, no, you call, you know. It's like changing that perspective, because people are like, oh, I'm not going to ring Lifeline. It's like, well, why not? You know what I mean? Like, you can't go and tell someone to go do something if you're not willing to do it yourself, you know? So that's sort of how we want those conversations to go on. Using the resources that are available to you. That's pretty well it.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I haven't actually thought of that before, in terms of, if you're not willing to do it yourself, how can you expect someone else to do it? Like, that's really...
Fuck, happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. People are like, oh, I got to go do this, got to do that. So are you doing that? Like, you need to do that. You lead the way, you know? So that's... And that's the best form of making any sort of positive change, is like putting your hand up and being like, righto, well, I'll go do this, and hopefully people will follow along. And that's just happened, like, that happened with us and our mates, like, from us starting this. It was like, we weren't into mental health before all this happened, you know what I mean? And we're like, we're not fully like fucking fledged mental health people ourselves, but we are like willing to show vulnerability, willing to, you know, create change, learn new things. And like I know there's people like in my wider network that have reached out and used TX. It's fucking awesome, you know. Like, I've had a conversation with a bloke from school a couple of months ago. He's like, mate, I know people that are like seeing people because of what you guys are doing. I'm like, that is sick. I was like, that's so good, you know. And like, never expected that sort of stuff to happen, but it is. It's like, yeah, it's really cool.
That's amazing. And where do you guys expect or see Trademark to go in the future and TX?
Oh, well, I mean, we want to be like a massive uniform supplier, basically. Like, we want to be a huge organization eventually, like massive. Not just doing the colorful work shirts, but like what people need Monday to Thursday anyway. Because with that model, then we're able to make more money to supply more psychologists, and it just evolves and evolves and evolves. And I mean, for TX, I mean, we've got like a massive, like big, hairy, audacious goal that like in 5 years at TX will be like the biggest mental health charity in Australia, because we think that we've sort of thrown the charitable stuff on its head to a degree, because it's like, we don't need to do marketing and advertising for TX because we do it through Trademark and other affiliate partners that come on board with us. This podcast, you know, like we're pushing it ourselves. So we always had the shits when we looked at charities, because they're fucking got so much money, but there's like nothing happening. It's like all this, you know, like you look at Movember, just fuck marketing, so much marketing. It's like, oh my God, like fuck, this is like massive. And they've like got tons of money. And it's like, why aren't we seeing like real change somewhere? So we're like, righto, we just want to hire psychologists and give their shit away for free. That's the model. And then how do we do that? We've got to get 120 grand to hire another psychologist, and it just builds on top of that. So we basically, set it up. So TX is just basically, dollar given, dollar change. And it's like, if it's actually a 3-to-1 return to the community, because if someone went and booked in an appointment to see our psychologist and paid for it, it's 3 times what we're actually paying them to sit there and give it away for free. So it's like, changing the whole philanthropy side of things and what people are donating, what people are actually getting for their money, because there's a lot of people that are disillusioned with charities because they're like, oh, well, why am I going to give you 50 grand? It's like, well, because it's going to pay for nearly half a year of free psychological care, and like this is how many hours that's going to be, and you know what I mean? So that's basically where we're going. Like, we want people to not just donate, we want people to invest in it. We want people to invest in TX and like allow it to, grow and expand and just be huge. So then we've got that hard, you know, cold hard data, which we've already started, like we've already got 12 months of it. Then we can go and lobby government and say, look, it doesn't need to be like government facing, because people lose trust in, we've got goodwill in this brand. It's like, you donate, like fund us, and we can fucking really make a change in this blue collar area, because people trust us, and they should, because it's fucking awesome. And it's, it's always going to be free. We want it to be 24 hours, want it to be 7 days a week, and we want it to be the number one go-to mental health charity in Australia. Yeah, in 5 years, that's the plan.
That's awesome. I can't wait for that.
It's, bold, but we've, why not? We've always got, pretty wild ideas. We always want to make something happen, so yeah.
That's really cool. And I guess to finalise, what would be the advice that you'd give to someone that just wants to make a change in, whether that be mental health or, you know, some form of a social issue, like when they want to create something like similar to this in terms of, you know, something that actually makes foreseeable and seeable change?
Makes change, yeah. I suppose it's finding something that you truly, like, believe in. Like, we truly believed in all of it through both of it, if that makes sense. Like, we really believed in the business idea, and then we truly believed that we could make a change in this space. So it's sort of molded together. And I suppose it's the same thing. Like, there's so many, like, social enterprise is like such an awesome business model, because it's like, you can start a fucking sweet business, you can work for yourself, then employ people, and all of that's going to make social change somewhere. So like, we've got like all our products are all warehouse picked, packed and dispatched by people with an intellectual physical disability. So had like 10,000 hours of disability employment through Trademark, and like, it's like, fuck, awesome. You know what I mean? We've been able to make a change there. We make like some of the excess stock you saw outside here, like that's going to go to a prison outside Ipswich, and they repurpose that into other products. So it's like, those inmates are learning, and like, we're wanting to hire those guys when they come out of there so that we can fucking change the rate of recidivism. I've said that wrong every time, but it's like reoffending rate. It's like 46% of people reoffending go straight back in. It's like, fuck, we've got to change that. So it's all these little touch points. But I suppose it's, finding something that you believe in, but most importantly, finding a business model that will sustain it, because there's so many people that's like a flash in the pan. Like you were saying, it's like a couple of months, fucking, this is a good idea, want to do that. Run out of money, whole dream dies. Like, it's got to be revenue first. Like, as capitalist that sounds, like, you cannot do anything without money. So, like, you need to be Yeah, rock solid in turning some cash over so you can make some social change in whichever area you want to. So, and there's heaps of different areas you can do it. It's just a matter of finding one that you care about and making it happen.
That's incredible. I love that. And for all the people that are listening to this, yeah, go and support Trade Mart. Buy their funky workwear.
Check it out.
They've got everything from lunchboxes. I hope to see everyone on their next placement with a funky lunchbox and all different types of things. And that's a thing. Like a lot of the people that do listen to this, it hopefully will have a bit of a wider impact in terms of their partners and people in their lives generally will be tradies as well. I know quite a few people that do listen to this do have partners that are. So, yeah, buying a Trade Mart shirt and wearing it to work, do it.
It'd be amazing. Yeah, and if anyone's listening that wants to reach out and have a chat to TX, the number's 0488 46988.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll cap it there. But, thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Student Paramedic Podcast. You can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or you can email us at studentparamedicpodcast@gmail.com.